You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Watt Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer your relationship questions. Before we start the show, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor. The Watt Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Watt training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want any information about our services, please feel free to call me at 949-723-0338. Or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. Currently, I have myself, Patricia Eltage, Andy Shaw, our facilitators. I currently have ladies groups on Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and on Thursdays after the show at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. I have about four or five ladies, up to six ladies in my group, and I work with them to help them do their online dating profiles, how to guide them through dating, how to teach them better communication tools with their gentlemen, and how to begin, build, and maintain, and hopefully get to the engagement. So if you're, and it's a $10 donation to join these groups. If you're interested, please feel free to reach out to me, and I'd be happy to send you a Zoom link. And we also do private counseling, private sessions too. So we have all different types of services. So if you're interested, just drop me a line, info@drpatallen.com. or 949-723-0338. So if you want to have a question answered today, the call-in number will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you call the number and nobody's picking up, it means we have another caller on before you. So keep trying back, and hopefully we'll get your call. Andy, we have Andy tonight. He was trained by Dr. Allen. He's one of the facilitators. Andy, you want to say hello to the audience?
Hi, audience.
Yes. Hopefully we'll get some callers today. We'd love to get some people calling in or giving us updates on using Dr. Allen's tools, how it's helped their life tremendously. So, can you give us any examples? Have you worked with any ladies or gentlemen that you've helped coach, facilitated, that got them to a better place?
I have a friend of mine who I helped, and I've actually got a couple of them.
Yes.
I do some off the cuff.
Uh-huh.
And even those come back and say, hey, you know, that really worked. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Was it over relationships or work? Because we do help you with relationship communication and also family or work situations.
That's been both.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. I got a friend of mine who I've known for 30 years that he has ADHD.
Uh-huh.
And kind of spins out of control sometimes. Is that going to happen?
Uh-huh.
And so I talk him through it, and this guy is like incredibly calm now. It's
oh, really?
He still has moments, but they're not nearly as pronounced as what they were.
Is he in a relationship or is he single? Does it help him in a relationship?
Well, it's helped him through his friendships.
Uh-huh.
I think it's helped him get closer to a relationship that he wants.
Okay.
And help clarify the relationships that he does have. And learn how to accept and reject another person.
Uh-huh.
We use 51% valuable a lot.
That's true. I know that, I just want to throw a shout out. Dr. Pat is still live and kicking. She'll be 91 in September. Unfortunately, we would love to have her on the radio show, but unfortunately her hearing's gone bad, so it's hard for her to hear the questions, and we do not want her to give out information that she can't hear the question properly. So she's had, you know, me, Kelly Ward, yourself, and Patricia, we're all here to help spread the message of the material that Dr. Allen came up with. So that's why we offer this radio show. If you can't call in and you want help, you can still reach me at the email, info@drpatallen.com, and we'd be happy to answer your question on the radio show, and you can listen to the archives and have it answered. So with that, I always like to have, you know, Andy, a lot of women have asked for Andy on because they like the man's perspective. You teach them the man's perspective.
I'll do what I can.
Well, sometimes it's good to get two points of view because the ladies don't always trust one. You know, they always they ask the question. If they don't like the answer, they re-ask the question but change it a little. But the answer is generally the same. That happens quite a few times. They just try to reword the question, hoping for a different answer, unfortunately. So that's one thing. But the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Is there any special topic that you know offhand you want to talk about?
Well, I always like the interest book, and I like the no, I don't have any special topic. I think it's random. We should, you know what we should do, Sue? We should get a dice and number all of our topics.
Oh, for a week. Okay, that's a good idea. Or if anybody out there in the audience has what they want us to talk about, because I know that what I'm working with now is online dating. Now, when Dr. Allen started her material, it was back in the 1990s, and the information is still valid, but unfortunately, through the years, online dating has changed it. These men, there's too much variety for people. They just go next, next, next. A lot of people are not settling down or being married because there's too much easy variety of people just to have fun with. Or wouldn't you say that I'm having a lot of women get frustrated on the men want the women to chase them? And I say for every 100 men out there that are on their feminine side, there is one or two good ones. Online dating is rough, but it's a tool just to funnel men through you. And yes, there's going to be some that want you to chase and be happy that you see them in the beginning. And there's some that will be the masculine men. But unfortunately, those masculine men scare the women too. So it's a double, they get hit from both sides. They're afraid of the masculine assertive man. What's your input on that, Andy?
I think we need to be more in person. That's why, you know, it's one of the things I always liked about Dr. Pat was, she said go on any date that somebody asks you on, assuming they're over 18 and not in an orange jumpsuit.
Uh-huh.
And practice the tools.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, even though you may not like them on the online dating, if they ask you, what's the harm in going in general, right? Not from the creeps and the people who will get you in trouble. But online dating also promotes left lobe thinking.
Okay. What's the value of that? Explain to the audience. If a woman is online dating, they're reading a man's profile and they're falling in love from what they read.
Yeah. So anything you do with reading, talking, right, that's all left lobe activity. And it's great for work. But it's not great for relationships.
Okay.
And that's the part that sometimes lacks when you're having a conversation, especially over text message.
Yes.
Because the text message is inherently left lobe. It only uses, 7 to 15% of the brain.
Okay.
You can't hear the other 87% of intent and feeling and all that goes with communicating in person. So getting, you know, Dr. Pat talks a lot about communicate via text or email, whatever, no more than 2 weeks.
Yes.
And meet in person as soon as you can.
Yes.
And that will help solidify the right lobe part of your brain so you can start to figure out if you're compatible or not.
Very interesting. We've never talked about that much in depth That's good logic there. I like that. See, Andy's a logical person because he's a male and he's operating off his left lobe. Oh, that's why I like your perspective. Very good point. You know, we've never analyzed it and talked about it in that point of view. But so when the women and so women basically, from what Dr. Allen, and you can collaborate because you've explained this very technical, women fall in love with their ears. So reading texts does not really penetrate the ears. Men will fall in love with your visual, your pictures. They don't really read your profile, ladies. So you can write whatever you want. I tell them to keep it short because men aren't going to remember anyway. But I want the women to read through the profile and see if there's, you know, if hopefully if they want a long-term committed edit for marriage and want kids. If he just says he wants to date, that, you know, he may not be compatible. Don't waste too much of your time with men that specifically say only looking for dating. Yeah. So what would your perspective be on what you're looking for when you read the profiles?
Same thing. Like, I'm trying to weed out as quick as I can, get to somebody that I think will have the kind of relationship that I think I want at that time.
Okay.
And what I think I can handle at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the benefit of not saying as much, because you leave it as a mystery.
Yes.
And that leads to a conversation of, hey, what are you looking for? What are you know, where are you in this life?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like that one gentleman who I think had spent 499 characters of the 500 available using all the words he possibly could.
And that would, you know, people start reading through there and they're already exhausted. They just give them bullet points because, you know, meet in person, because you can have the most perfect bio, but if you don't have the chemistry, everything he wrote isn't going to matter.
Yeah, and you can have a crappy bio, and none of that will matter when you meet him.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point there.
True. Like, I'm socially awkward. I don't know what to write. I'm like, cool, I don't care. You're fun. You're pleasant. You had a sunny personality. I can do something with this.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So, you know, the men try – and most of my ladies in my ladies group, and you can collaborate with this, they go out on the date and they're so mad because all the man does is talk about himself and he doesn't ask women questions and they can't stand that. From Dr. Allen's wording, why do men do that since you're a man?
Well, you said Dr. Allen's wording.
Well, I'll tell you what I hear. I tell my women and then you tell your do it in the way you're communicated, is that men want a peacock. It's like animals do that. There's something about some birds that run around that, you know, they all try to win the women over. It's peacocking. They want to make sure that they tell. It's the same as the alpha male. They're the strongest of the pack, that they're the one to pick. Women pick the men, but men have to peacock and show that they're the best deal around. You tell them the way you would say it.
No, you're right. I had a friend of mine when early on, two-toned peacock. I'm like, I don't know what it is you mean. And when I peacock, I don't do it very well. So,
because the male peacocks have the wonderful, beautiful colored feathers.
I'm looking at the truth about men.
Okay.
On Peacock here. There's a couple things I'm getting to idea, but.
Because it came up with because peacocks, the women do not have the multicolored feathers, but the peacock men do.
Yeah, so this paragraph says genetic success in his physical body turns, turns us on to why. These characteristics show us his potential for providing us resources and economic capacity. Not unusual for animals, even if these genetic characteristics prove to be burdens. For example, consider the larger tail on a male peacock. It handicaps the poor bird in hiding or escaping predators, but he has no choice if he wants sex. The drab-colored female is safe in her camouflage, choose the guy they want, and do they want a guy with genetics for being a predatory target? Why? And there's an explanation point. Anyways, why would a female want to mate with a bird carrying such a survival disadvantage? Researcher in the Journal of Theoretical Biology says it's precisely because if the poor sucker is still alive, he must have some survival advantage. With such a large handicap, the female figures this guy must have something on the ball because he's still walking around. He must be superior at escaping predators, finding food, resisting disease, etc. So the increased mating opportunities for the peacock far outweigh the disadvantage of the tail.
Oh, that's a good, yeah, because I do, the only thing I knew, that's more information. The only thing I knew is that the peacocks had the bigger feathers that were more vibrant and they showed off more.
And the next paragraph goes into, this explains why guys do stupid things to prove superiority over other guys.
Well, go ahead and read that too, because the majority of women, because they're basically male to male sitting there. She wants to tell him all about her, and he wants to tell him all about him. And then there's a competition on who's the better man.
Yeah. So it says, if so, we select them. As we mentioned earlier in the book, ever notice young guys exposing themselves to risks or dangers like fast driving, potent drugs, drunkenness, extreme sports, or other unsafe behavior? Scientists believe they are unconsciously saying to females, I must be strong and superior enough. If I can do these drugs or swallow this alcohol and endure a hangover or risk my life in no fear activities, still remain alive and healthy. Unfortunately, humans have longer lives than most animals, so the consequences of this show-off behavior may be detrimental. A drunk youth who drives fast to impress his female friends, all too often, that being wrapped around a telephone pole hinders mating opportunities. So what are the physical genetic success factors we look for in male selection? Then it goes into a paragraph on size and strength, health, symmetry, good looks, and penis length.
Oh, okay. Oh. What book is this in?
The Truth About Men.
Oh, okay. Hey, we never brought that book up before. Good. Thanks for bringing it up. We all talk about the other books. Yeah.
Yeah, I looked at my entire directory of books for the word peacock.
Okay.
I only showed up in two books.
Because you have it all in your computer. You just Google it. That's why I like to have you gone. You got it all organized.
Yeah, before we get online, I bring up the book. I bring up my advanced find.
Okay.
And ready to go.
Okay.
So, I'm going to talk some more about it.
Tell it. Okay, well, let's switch it then. So when a girl goes out on a date, and yet most of my women, they try to sell themselves to the men. And you just went through that. They want to basically wave their hand, pick me, pick me. But it's opposite. We women pick the men. So there's a little backwards there. Why would these women or something, are they operating in their masculine or maybe they're a little insecure? Why are they thinking that they have to prove they're good women to men?
I'm going to go with they're trained by men.
Yes.
And or there's a self-value problem.
Yes. Remember Dr. Allen talks about the daddy umbrella? That might be one of the windows, one of the.
Yeah. And also, every woman I've ever said that they're like a flower, lovable because they exist.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing.
Oh, we have a caller on, Andy. Sorry. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a question about if you're going on dates with a man and you're noticing that he indulges in alcohol or you know, like recreational marijuana. I remember Dr. Pat for years would say something about that, about what that meant of like him knocking something out in terms of his
when masculine men drink, they knock out their logic. When women drink, they knock out their feelings. They actually go opposite. My point is, let me ask you, how long have you been going out? Because some men get scared and they drink a little bit too much.
Repeat the question. You said how long have we
been going out? Because sometimes men do take a shot or something for a shot of courage because they're afraid. How long have you been dating him?
I would say about four or five dates, and every date has like a fair amount of alcohol on his side.
Do you notice he's different though?
No.
Okay. Well, that might be something to watch because sometimes men might be, you know, casual drinkers at night. And, you know, if you don't notice a difference in, do you do day activities with him where he's not drinking?
Even day activities, he kind of always has alcohol in the mix. And I obviously don't want to say too much because I don't want him to feel criticized. But at the same time, he sort of represented to me that he was had a healthy lifestyle. And he does to a degree, but I'm more concerned that he is seeking after a lot of pleasure, like when I'm just observing him, like in his habits, and I'm wondering, the alcohol seems more like an avenue to like access something for him, and that.
Well, it might be a problem that might, you know, remember, there's alcoholics. What do they call them? They're functioning alcoholics, but it could end up being where it's, you know, he does get into trouble. It's not the point of whether he changes. Is you want somebody that drinks excessively? You're not noticed. He's a functioning alcoholic. You don't know any difference in his personality.
He gets a little bit juvenile sometimes when he's drinking. That's a little bit shallow.
He's operating on his feelings. Andy, do you know? Do you want to collaborate about? Remember when men drink, they knock out their logic and go into their feminine feelings.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly right. Have all your dates been at, you said you've had dates during the day also?
Yeah. So like he always plans the dates. And like, even if we go to like the beach, he'll ask me like, do you want me to bring a bottle of wine? And, you know, I usually decline or say like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, if you bring that, I'm only going to have one glass. So it's probably not worth it. And like, he always seems kind of conflicted and seems like he sort of needs that. And you know, I don't really know what to say because I'm more concerned. It's like a character thing. Like I feel like he chases pleasure, even though he's very masculine energy and how he shows up. Like, you know, he's a leader and he initiates and he takes action. But he wants
the alcohol to get out of his head. So it's kind of like it's the same thing. He wants to get out of his head.
Yeah, I also noticed from like stories he's told me and just like past things that he's also a little bit reckless sometimes. And
well, alcohol will do that to you. The biggest point is not to worry about why he's doing it, because we can't change him. Because your question is why he's doing it is if it's something you're comfortable having somebody drinking every day, if that fits into your compatibility.
Yes. Yeah, when you
is there a feminine way that you can bring it up and like
I don't think so because he is the way he is, and if you bring it up, you're asking him to change. You're wanting him to change to accommodate you. If he wants to, you could say I'm not comfortable drinking all the time. I'm not comfortable and see what he says, but he's showing you the real him. And if you don't like it, if he wants to get into a committed relationship, that's when you tell him your fears.
Okay. That makes sense. I feel like I'm noticing when we go out on dates, but there's a lot of drinking is that
he'll fight you back there. You're making him wrong for drinking. There's a fine line there. When you're dating details. It's timing too. When you're dating somebody, you're getting to know them and you accept them the way they are, drinking or not. Or you reject them and say, no, I don't want to be with somebody that I'm seeing drinks every day. That's a red flag. Or you tolerate them. Right now you're tolerate them because you're half accepting his drinking, but you don't like it, so you're half rejecting it. But he hasn't asked you for a relationship, so it's not your business to tell him what he can and can't do.
How do I like, can I express along the way, like, oh, I'm not.
Andy, do you want? I said my point of view. Andy, you want, that you want to tell this man you want him to stop drinking. Andy, do you want to share with her your point of view?
Yeah. So, is he driving you anywhere, or are you meeting?
He's usually driving. Yeah.
So let me ask you this: if he's driving and drinking and driving, that puts you at risk.
Yeah, sometimes it'll be hours before we get back in the car. On occasion, we'll take an Uber. But yeah, I mean, yes, go ahead.
So, I mean, what Dr. Pat's stuff is about is normal circumstances. There's a line there between when you can be physically hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's drinking and driving, I think you have the right or the responsibility even to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe lay down the line and say, if you want to meet me, you know, I'll happily do it with you sober.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can meet you somewhere. So he's got a right to be who he is. You're not telling him to be anything different than who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You're just protecting yourself, and that's okay to do.
Because you're putting yourself at risk by having him drink and you're driving in the car with him. So that's a concern. That's a good point, Andy. We didn't go to that.
My main concern is that you love yourself more than you love anybody else.
Right. Is it okay to say what I mentioned before and say, like, if he says, oh, we're going to go out to this restaurant, and I say something like, oh, I'd love that, but I just don't feel comfortable drinking tonight. Like, is that a good way that I could signal to him?
That's saying you're not comfortable drinking, but we can't tell him what he can and can't do.
Yeah, no, it's your boundary. You're fine to do your boundary. You're just not fine to do his boundary.
Right. I'm just trying to find a way to, like, signal to him, like, I like spending time with you, but I don't love this part of it.
Yeah. Until the part where you are at risk, there's no line to cross, right? He has a right to be who he is, and you have a right to be who you are. But when he's putting your life at risk, you can intercede and say, hey, look, you know, time out, buddy. I'm not comfortable. You're, you know, putting my life at risk. You're putting my life and my livelihood in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, I would start the conversation then, even in the feminine line, because your life is in danger or potentially in danger. Hey, can we talk about alcohol or your alcohol usage?
Okay.
Just so I can understand what I can and cannot do with you. Because this is only about you. Okay. He's just enlightening what your, you know, where your boundaries can be.
Okay.
What I do know is if he's showing signs of drinking and you tell him he could do the where he drinks behind your back, because we don't get to decide whether he's an alcoholic or not or he has a drinking problem. We have to accept him because he's showing you who he is. And if you don't like it, like Andy said, you could say no to getting in the car when he drinks a lot, but we can't really make him wrong for having his drinks excessively.
I don't want to make him wrong, but he is very eager to please me and, like, to check in with how I'm feeling. So I just feel like if I maybe said, you know, I love, like, going out on dates that you plan, but I just don't love always having alcohol.
I'm not comfortable having alcohol on all of our social arrangements. You could say it like this. You know, he asks you, hey, do you want to go out to dinner? You say, I'd love to go out to dinner. However, I'm uncomfortable and I'm uncomfortable having alcohol on all of our social dates. What do you think about us going out and having burgers without alcohol? That would make me feel good. Something like that.
Yeah,
it has to be about you, not what he's doing.
Yeah, if you say something about you not feeling safe,
Say again, Andy.
If you say something about you not feeling safe, then...
No. I said that's a good script to what Sue said. Oh, you're changing the subject and you're saying, if you're bringing something else up, saying if I don't feel safe.
Yeah, you can also change the script too. You know, I'd love going out with you, however, I'm noticing I'm uncomfortable driving with you when there's alcohol involved. What do you think about not drinking? You can use that one.
That works.
You can stroke him first and say, you know, when he asks you out, you say, I'd love to go out. However, it's, you know, I'm a little concerned. I've noticed I'm uncomfortable getting in the car after alcohol has been consumed. I'm starting to get a little afraid. What do you think about maybe not, you know, drinking and driving with me in the car? And he may say, oh, I'm okay. That's your sign he's not changing, dear.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
You can listen to this recording. That's a good script. I don't want you to punish him for his drinking or making him wrong for drinking, because he has and he may be able to handle a lot of alcohol. We don't know his tolerance level.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So knowing that telling him what could, if he could not drink excessively while you're in the car with him, let's see how much he does drink.
Okay. That makes sense. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Keep us posted on that. I'd like to hear how that goes. That's a good one.
Me too.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Good one. Thank you. Listen to the recording. It'll be up. You can listen to it.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's a good one, Andy. You know, I mean, it's borderline. She likes the guy, but she doesn't like the drinking.
Right.
But that's who he is. That might be who he is.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as everybody feels safe in the process. Yeah.
Well, that's a fine line, though, because when I know with alcohol, they can drink it behind your back. And, you know, if you see signs of it, that's a red flag. You got to watch that.
Well, you know what, Sue, do you know what the signs are?
Some people, you know what? Some people are functional alcoholics. They operate, they could drink a gallon of vodka and be fine.
Well, that's true.
It's how comfortable you are knowing they drank that much. And it's a numbers game. If you get in the car when you've watched him drink 6-7 drinks in an hour and he's still walking fine, it's still a numbers game.
That's true. He could get pulled over and gets arrested and left you on the side of the road.
And we don't know how many he's had maybe all day long.
True also.
So, you know, that might be something rather, you know, she's already seeing that there's a lot of excessive drinking. And, we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
It's me.
Okay, I know you. Okay, what's going on?
I am doing well. I'm actually a part of the
Women's Group. Oh, this is one of my group ladies. This is one of my group ladies. Please share how good you're doing in my group. Well, and you've come a long way. We have done a lot of work with you.
You know what? Yes, I 100% agree. We have done a lot of work. Definitely, I highly recommend your group to every single lady that is in any type of relationship with a man. I say you have to come to this group. It will legit change your life. For me, there was so much I didn't know that every week I'm learning bit by bit. I have had my struggles. I have had to change my mindset and my methodology. I've been through two relationships and I'm now duty dating, and I understand things a lot better when it comes to communicating and understanding. Like, it's so interesting to me how, like, even when my girlfriends are telling me about their relationship issues, like, it's so easy for me to, like, just pick up. I'm like, oh, well, maybe try this way, try that way, try this way. I'm, like, able to, like, figure stuff out in my head. It's been like really great working with you, and like really hope that we end someday we're married.
you're going to get there, dear. And you've had to do how many hi-bye letters?
Two in the past 3 months.
And do they work?
Two.
And you used to fight.
They do work.
You used to fight me. They're never coming back. Those hi-bye letters always work.
Yeah. They like, I'm surprised, like, even like when we spoke last week, and one of the men that I sent a hi-bye letter to was like poking around. I never thought I'd see him on anything anywhere ever again. And even the guy who I sent the second hi-bye letter to, he commended me on the maturity of that letter. And he said he was really taken aback by it, that in no way did I like accuse him or call him names or call him out of his name or anything. It was just like me sharing how I felt. And even though that letter was like me doing a high bye, he just felt, he felt good after reading my letter. And he said that he held me in even higher esteem as a woman because I reacted to our situation in that way, as opposed to another way where, which he thought I would have reacted.
Yeah. It helps you. It helps it. And you know what the good thing about the high bye letter is? It helps you learn lessons to have, to end things, to move on and not carry the baggage from that relationship. And it also helps the gentleman you're sending it to, so he knows why the relationship broke down, so he might carry on and do better in his next relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's a probability.
Yes. So, yeah. We don't share names, but you've been with me for a few months and I've seen great progress. You're always saying you don't feel you got it, but you've got it, girl.
Thank you. That means so much.
She's always going, I'm never getting this stuff. Go, you have done such leap and bounds, dear, you know. And to hear this, I appreciate it so much that you called.
No worries. Well, I will see you later on. But to anyone else who's listening, make sure that you sign up for the group. It's twice a week. It is the best investment in your relationship building. It's not therapy, but using it alongside therapy is like amazing. So make sure you sign up. Okay. I'm going to go now. Bye, guys.
Bye. I'll see you tonight.
I guess she's great.
I think she lives in Canada. She came from Dr. Pat, and unfortunately, you know, I like working in groups because each girl can get the same material that, you know, it's like doing it all in one. We all do the same stuff. So when they hear her example, they're going, that's me too. So they understand that it happens to a lot of ladies, not just them. And it helps, you know, it's great. Dr. Allen does groups too. Group therapy to help you build. It's great because you can share off each other's experiences and learn from their experiences as well. So thank you for calling in. I won't share names, but I'll talk to her tonight, see where she's at. So my ladies groups are on Mondays and Thursdays. And if you want information, you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. So with that, what were we talking about, Andy, when we got the calls?
I don't know.
The truth is about men.
I was so intrigued by the call. I had no idea.
Well, we were talking to one about the alcohol thing, about the signs of the alcoholism. But I know, you know, when you see people that drink a lot, they can drink a lot and you may not see any signs of them being drunk. So that's the thing to worry about.
Hey, Sue, how much do you know about being ego dystonic?
Give me an example. Let me Google that, because I'm not sure what kind of an example that is.
Yeah. Well, like one of my notes on the communication manual was, an ego dystonic female can only be with a feminine man. They're inside out.
Okay, well, I Googled it and it says ego dystonic thoughts are unwanted thoughts that are at odds with an individual's self-perception. values, or beliefs, causing distress or anxiety. These thoughts or experiences is coming from outside the self and are often accompanied by feelings of guilt, shame, or uncomfort. So, you know, your ego, there's a book, egos, women want, if you put your ego too high ahead, you let a lot of good things go by. There's a book that I have, it says your ego will keep you single because you want to be better than everybody, you want to know more, and you want to prove to them you're better. So sometimes if you have a high ego, it can cause you to be single because, oh, we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Not really a question, just a testimonial.
Oh, okay. Another one. Okay, and who is this for?
Good. This is for Sue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
were you in one of my ladies' groups? Are you in one of my groups or private?
I am.
Oh, okay. And what did you learn from my group?
Well, I'm still single. However, what I'm learning is better communication tools. And in return for that also, that I didn't expect to learn, that I've gained a different level of confidence throughout that process as well, which has been really helpful, where I used to kind of feel a little bit desperate and not know exactly how to navigate things.
Oh,
yes.
Are you still in my group or are you a past group lady?
Oh. I'm still in your group.
Okay, I can't recognize the voice, but when you're in it, tell me you did the testimony. I don't want to share names, but the groups, I'm like Dr. Pat. I tell you the truth. I can't sugarcoat it because change, you know, sometimes if you're doing the same thing over and over, you have to go through some pain in order to move forward. If you keep doing the same thing over and over, you'll get the same results. And I push you ladies to get out of your comfort zone. So, you know, I don't ever mean to, I do it in the most polite way, but sometimes it might come across as a little stern, but it's only to have you be aware of what you're doing. Cause you can't see what you're doing. I can see, and I can't even see what I'm doing. So mm-hmm. I go to somebody else.
Right. I know that's where we all need help. And you recently mentioned something while I was in group that there was like that I keep attracting a similar type. And so there's like a mirror there. And so now I'm trying.
Oh, I know who this is. I didn't recognize the voice. You've come along. I know who you are now. You've had to do some high bye letters too, huh?
Yes, I have.
I recognize the voice now. And is that last one, has he come around yet?
No, I suspect most likely. I'm just basing this off of his last response. He most likely will not.
I know he will. I'm 100% positive, but he's not going to come around. He's got to miss you, dear. Men do not miss you for at least 2 weeks.
Who knows what'll happen?
Yeah, they have to ruminate.
Interesting.
They have to ruminate.
Yeah, I did not.
When you don't reach out,
when we don't reach out. And it's fascinating that I feel, you know, I'm feeling like, oh, well, okay, I'm just moving on now, you know.
But you learned a good, you almost went even ring shopping, but then it twisted.
Almost.
You did the work perfect, but sometimes you pick a man that's a little bit too broken. So we can't fix
it. And I will say too, I don't like to do the things that are asked, but I do them anyway. I did not want to send that high by letter again, but I did it. And I did it exactly how you prescribed. But man, I can tell you there's things, and it always seems to turn out better, and I feel better about myself following that direction.
That's good to know. I do push you, but only because I'm not emotionally involved in it, you know, and a lot of times mm-hmm. you get your feelings in it, so you want to punish him, but I stay neutral because I know how men think and I know what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the best thing to do the best, because men, it's a fine line to walk it, to do the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
I'm still rooting for him. but whether you want him is a different story.
I don't know if I do.
That's what happens is these men do that, but you do the 8 weeks, and then when he reaches out, you get to decide. And remember, after 8 weeks, it's a brand new relationship. You can't talk about the past.
Yeah, the old stuff. Yeah, but it'll start again, I assume, unless something changes.
It might. He may take a growth step on self-awareness, dear. You're not like the other women, and you have healthier boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
We always said you were different, and this is why.
Yeah.
And men want virtue. They don't want easy, and you kept virtuous even though he didn't like it. You're different, and that's what attracts men to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, so this one, we'll be watching the movie until 8 weeks.
I'm betting on two.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Thank you for calling. We're going to have to wind the show down.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, Andy wanted to talk to you. Wait. Andy, what did you want to ask her?
Might want to look at Getting to I Do, Chapter 9, Finding Your Prince. And then we'll talk about the time, the 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 weeks, all that jazz.
Yeah. They don't even miss you for 2 weeks. And in 4 weeks, they're 2 weeks, they're like, she's a bitch. I don't need her. I think it's 3 to 4 weeks is when they start really ruminating.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Time will tell. We're only in week barely one.
Get the book. I think it'll help you.
Yeah, I've read it. I've got it up. I'm reading it again now.
Okay. I read it every week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Oh, two of my ladies. Thank you, ladies.
Nice.
I'm doing something good out there. Okay.
Yeah, you are. Good job.
Thank you. Well, we're trying to get Andy some groups, too. Andy comes in and takes some of my groups in, and I think you knew that. Yeah, I think you were with her. I don't know if you recognized her voice, but I think you did have her. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to have to wind down the show. I want to thank Andy for joining, and I want to thank everybody for calling in, and if you're out there listening. And remember, if you want some information on the Wine Institute services, just give me a call at 949-723-0338 or send me an email at info@drpatallen.com. So, Andy, you want to say goodnight to the audience?
Good night, audience. Good night, Sue. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy, and good night, audience. Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.